And now, on with the show.
Welcome, 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 everybody. Here we are once again. It's Weekend Watch, part of the Three Guys One Up podcast network. I'm here, Spencer. Also here is Keith.
Hey.
And joining us this week is Jonathan once again. Jonathan, what's up?
Hey, everybody.
David, unfortunately, could not join us today, but Jonathan is filling in, so we will make do.
Do you have like a sound effect board?
No, not, I mean, I could do it, but I'm too lazy to set it up.
Well, if I'm filling in for David. Oh, if I'm filling in for David, I feel like I should be introduced to the bong rep.
Oh, where's your son? You can just blow bubbles in his water again.
5 minutes too late.
Is he in bed now? Okay. All right. Well, we have a show to do, right? Last week, where we left off was right in the middle of Marvel Cinematic Universe Phase 3. There's a lot of movies in this phase, so we had to break it up into 2 days. So today, we are covering the second half of Phase 3, beginning with Avengers Infinity War. Why don't we just jump right in? Who wants to give me a little synopsis? Keith, why don't you give me a synopsis of Avengers Infinity War, please?
All right. Infinity War is the coming together of the Avengers once again. You know, we had a little bit of a split up after our last meeting. What was it for? Ultron, Civil
War.
Right?
Civil War.
Civil War, yeah. You're right. So they're coming together again to face down an even greater threat, Thanos, who is amassing all of the Infinity Stones to create the Infinity Gauntlet to wipe out half of all living things in the universe. So, yeah, pretty big threat. So we fight against Thanos, and I don't know, what else should I say? We ultimately lose, because this isn't the end of the story.
Good enough for me, yeah. Thanos has been the overarching villain of the entire MCU up until this point. Right, I think the first introduction to him was the end credit scene of Avengers.
Yeah,
not even played by Josh Brolin yet.
No, he was just goofy looking, shadowy, Balchinian.
So we start off the movie at right after the end credit scene of Thor Ragnarok, right on the Asgardian refugee ship, as it, you know, it was like a nice hopeful note as the refugee ship was leaving Asgard being destroyed. It was like, ah, they're gonna make it somewhere. And then it was like Loki and doom. Like the ship looms in the background, and here we go. Thanos is taking over the ship. He's killing half the people on board. He's trying to get the space stone that Loki had.
He had one of them. It was the Tesseract, right?
Yeah, that's the space stone.
Yeah.
And so now Thanos has multiple Infinity Stones. That's not good.
It's bad. That's actually bad. Real bad.
So, this is basically Thanos tracking down the rest of the stones, attacking Earth, trying to get them all. Because for some reason, there were like three of them on Earth.
Yeah, like the most coveted things in the universe that we know of at this point in time in the story. They just all happen to be hanging out on Earth that doesn't even know about the rest of the galaxy doing all of this shit. I don't know. There's so many similarities.
Oh, right? Spread them out a little more, guys. I don't know. This one felt real groundbreaking together. We've had these diverging storylines of the Avengers on Earth and the more space-themed stories, like the Guardian stories. Everything is finally converging into the end of the saga, right? The beginning of the end.
Right.
So it was really nice. Like, suddenly we're back on Quill's ship with the Guardians and going through all of that. And it's just, I don't know. I love this movie.
You know, what's really great about this movie is it has so much that they have to bring together, and they do a really, really good job of doing that without completely overwhelming you. It's still very comprehensive. You're going in a couple of different directions at times, but it all mashes up so well, and it doesn't leave you just like, wait, where am I now? Who is this? What's going on over here? It all completely connects together. It doesn't flip over it on itself and leave you confused and overwhelmed.
Right. It felt like they actually had a good plan for at least a few years to really tie it all together.
Yeah, they kind of had to haphazardly slap some stories together and throughout phase two and in phase three. But this really showed that they were doing that to come to this point.
Right. And it worked, I thought. You know, I have no complaints about this movie. I really enjoy it. JP, what do you think of Infinity War?
I don't particularly care for most of the Marvel movies, or I guess I should say they're all fine to me. I don't dislike most of them. I'm not super into any of them, particularly this one. I really only know, I remember it as the, how spoilers, how much would spoilers, these spoilers? This is the only reason I remember this is because of the snap. It's the, I know it's the one with the snap and that's it. Like that, they all run together for me. So, but it's good. It's good. You know, I agree with Keith as far as the one thing that they do very, very well is make sure that everybody understands what's happening. Right. And you can tell that they went into this plan. It's good. It's entertaining. That's all I got for it. It's
fair enough.
Yeah.
And I get your point. Like, and it's a very big point being made right now with a lot of filmmakers. You know, I think it was Ridley Scott that was most recently quoted saying they're getting boring and stuff like that. So I understand a lot, but at this point in time, when this movie came out, it was huge and it was a big deal for me, especially who'd been keeping up with every single one of these movies. I've kind of fallen off in phase four.
Yeah.
When it comes to that, but, and I think it is because of the end of this phase, the movies we're talking about right now was such a crescendo, such a, like a relieving point of the MCU where it's like, okay, maybe I don't have to keep up as much anymore now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Well, it feels like, oh, I already, it's happened. Like
yeah,
a once in a lifetime cinematic event is now over, but they're still making movies. And I'm not saying that are bad.
No,
the shows have been great. I haven't seen any of the phase four movies yet. There's only three of them so far, but so I'll get to them, but it doesn't feel like you said, it doesn't feel as important anymore.
Right.
Well, that's my, I think part of it is that this had gone on so long that I had grown more or less tired of a lot of it.
Yeah, right.
It's been three years for like a decade.
Yeah.
Well, and that's yeah. So, and I had seen every single one of them in theaters up until Black Panther. So at this point, basically, I'd like checked out and I was like, I'll pick it up. I'll catch it whenever I catch it. So totally. I think that was probably part of it is it was just I hit that point of burnout right before this came out. So I stopped caring.
I mean, let's also be a little bit fair. Black Panther also came out the year your son was born. So that, you suddenly didn't have a chance to go to the movies near as often or ever.
I'm not going to respond to that.
So anyway. Let's move on. Infinity War. That sets us up for another movie here down the line. But before we get there, we have a couple of palate cleansers. And the first one we're talking about came out really shortly after Infinity War. It was like 2 months, I think, was when it was released. And that was Ant-Man and the Wasp. This movie kind of runs concurrently with Infinity War and focuses on Scott Lang, our Ant-Man, who starts the movie off on house arrest. Actually, I think he spends most of the movie on house arrest, theoretically, because of his actions in helping Captain America during Civil War. So he's right at the end of his house arrest, and suddenly he's got to help Dr. Pym and Hope try to rescue Janet Van Dyne from the Quantum Realm. This one is a palate cleanser for me because it is still hilarious. It's very, again, it's kind of tongue-in-cheek. It doesn't take itself too seriously. The humor is amped up from any other, you know, from most of the other Marvel movies, except maybe the Guardians ones. And it's just, like I said, I found it to be a bit of a palate cleanser after the gravity of Infinity War.
Yeah, I agree. And I don't think that takes away from it. I thoroughly enjoyed this movie as just as I enjoyed the first one. I like how they dive a little bit more into the psychedelic stuff that we got at the end of Ant-Man and all throughout Doctor Strange. You know, it really plays on that, this quantum realm, and it is crazy, wacky, psychedelic. It's really fun. It's really goofy. It's got the Ant-Man antics of like taking these huge scale fights and shrinking them. So it, they play off of that size play. I love the way they do that in the first one and this one. The addition of Wasp is really great. What's the agent's name that's in charge of watching him?
Wu.
Yeah.
Agent Wu.
And he is a great addition. We get him later on in our series that are just coming out this year. So there's a lot of important stuff that does happen in this movie. Like this is, there's important plot points from this movie that we get later on in this phase. But it still, it doesn't cram them down your throat. It just kind of lets it be a goofy movie with these important things kind of washing by you. And I really like that.
Yeah. I really like that they brought Agent Wu back in WandaVision. Plus how do you, I mean, it's just, it's great. The character's great, played by the inimitable John Krasinski. I feel like not a lot. I think it's funny. So I'm gonna leave it in. Anyway, what's his name? Michael Pena playing Luis again is awesome. A delight.
Michael Pena is my favorite part of both of these movies.
Yeah, completely understandable.
Great.
I love Michael Pena in everything. I've yet to see him in something that I don't enjoy. Because he's just hilarious in everything he plays a stereotype all the time, and I love it.
Yeah, and he's great at it, and his timing is spot on. He's a great comedian, great actor. Love him so much. Hey, we can't really talk about this movie without also saying Paul Rudd just won Sexiest Man of the Year. Go Paul Rudd! The dude's what, 52? Fuck yeah!
Yeah, good amazing. For him, man. Good for him. A certified beefcake.
Yeah. The dude's amazing.
Is he at like zaddy age? Is he a zaddy?
Oh, he's zaddied up, right?
Okay. All right. Is that what the kids say?
I mean,
Spencer, I've never heard that term in my life.
Spencer, you don't know about zaddies? You're the youngest zaddies. Of us, I believe.
You need to get on some zaddies.
Yeah. Is that some sort of
sexy daddy thing?
Yeah. Just Google.
Is that some sort of leather term?
Google's daddies. Make sure safe search is off.
Or just go straight to Pornhub and search zaddy.
Is it with a Z? Is that what it is?
What else would it, like, are you thinking it's an
do you,
X?
Do you
like
hear what we're saying?
I don't know. SZ? I don't know.
Yeah, right. They're Polish. They're Polish fathers.
Oh man, a sexually attractive man, especially an older one who is fashionable or charismatic. All right, that's the Google definition.
that's Paul Rudd, right there.
Image search.
But yeah, go Paul Rudd. I'm image search.
Well, I mean, I get it now though, because we've got Idris Elba.
Just know that
John Hamm is in here.
Oh yeah, Cameron. He's a real zaddy. Yeah,
it's still on, Spencer, just so you know, while you're image searching, like turn your camera off if you're going to go any deeper.
Oh, man. Charlie Hunnam is here. I'm seeing him listed.
Charlie Hunnam? Really? Is a zaddy? He's not old enough. He's not zaddy age.
Right? He's getting up there.
Nah, he's not zaddy age.
I don't know, man.
He's only like 40 something, right?
He's got to be in his late 40s by now.
Really. Are we really arguing zaddies on the weekend watch part? Okay.
yeah. Why not? Tom Hardy is listed as the number one zaddy.
No, he's not old enough.
Are you guys kidding me? Tom Hardy's like 50 years old.
Is he?
No. Okay. Well, then I have problems with the fact that he's a front runner for Bond. Let's talk about that then.
Oh, he's 44.
Yeah.
Okay. How old do you have to be a zaddy?
You got
to
be past
35. You got a kid.
I don't like the implication you're making here because it makes me uncomfortable. But I think you have to be 50 or older. That's my
50. I'm with you on that. All right. Well, Charlie Hunnam doesn't count then. He's 41.
Dang.
He's not even like
Barack Obama is on this list.
Nice. All right.
So is Justin Trudeau. A lot of politicians, apparently.
Is wait. Does that is Cruz is he a zaddy?
No, no. Have you seen the slug?
Yes, that's why I'm asking.
Joe Manganiello.
Manganiello?
Manangelo.
Manganiello.
Manganiello.
Manga, like the Japanese books.
Manganiello. We're talking about Mr. Vergara, right?
Huh? Joe Manganiello. I don't know.
Yeah, Mr. Vergara.
Sure.
What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know. Zaddies. We're still on Zaddies. Let's go back to the MCU. All right. Ant-Man and Wasp. You know, my favorite part of this is where they're all three trying to be incognito, so they put on hats and sunglasses, and finally Scott Lang is like, this, we look like ourselves going to a baseball game.
This is not doing anything.
Finally, it's the first time somebody's acknowledged that hats and sunglasses don't disguise you very well.
And that's like Captain America's go-to disguise.
Yeah, I like that. That's very self-aware. I enjoyed that joke.
Is that not, I assumed that was like a, isn't that the part of the joke? Is that they're making fun of like the Superman just putting on his glasses and being a different dude?
I don't know if they were pretty serious about it in Winter Soldier when Natasha and Cap are trying to hide in the mall.
I just assumed like they were in on around. The town. No? All right. Okay.
They were pretty serious about it up until this one. All right, let's move on. Captain Marvel. Keith, give me a rundown of Captain Marvel, please.
All right, Captain Marvel. It's going to shoot us back in time. We're going back into the 90s, the era of grunge. And we get to meet a new character back in time that gets into this wacky accident and gets some fucking superpowers from it. She's confused most of the movie, trying to figure out who she is, where she's from. We're getting kind of a story put together in reverse because the story we know at the beginning of the movie is not the whole picture. And we get a lot of, what's his name? We got a lot of Fury in this movie. We got kind of a build up to what S.H.I.E.L.D. is going to become, and this brand new superhero, Captain Marvel.
We get the I liked it. I like the origin story in reverse, the mystery of it all.
Yeah,
that's something that was kind of new, and I dug it.
It was different. I liked the characters. I liked having Fury throughout this whole thing, getting a little bit of his eyeball origin story. It's like what's that movie, Hot Tub Time Machine, where you're always waiting for the guy to get his arm chopped off.
Yeah.
It's kind of that feel where you're always waiting for the eyeball to come out.
I like how they tie this movie has ties. It feels like a bridge to me between the space set stories and the Earth set stories, right? Because yeah. Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, is the beginning of the movie. She is fighting with the Kree, who we know from Guardians of the Galaxy 1 as being this fanatical war bent race. And it kind of gives that different side about how the Kree think they're the righteous ones. And, you know, she's fighting alongside with them. Introduction to an earlier, what was his name? Ronan.
Yeah.
A young Ronan before he's been fully radicalized. And I don't know. I liked this movie. There was a ton of blowback to it when it first came out from internet incels who hated the idea of a woman having agency.
What was with the that's not her name. It's not Alison Brie. What's the actress's name?
Brie Larson.
Brie Larson.
Yeah, it was a Brie. I knew there was a Brie. She got so much hate. Why? Like, she specifically got a ton of hate over this, and I don't get it still to this day.
They were already calling her a Mary Sue before the movie had ever been released.
Mm.
Ridiculous. Just fucking stupid.
Jesus Christ. I can't believe people. This was a fun movie. It was also another palate cleanser. Like I said, it's sending us back in time. We're getting information from other places. It's kind of shoring up some information. And it was a cool movie. I really enjoyed it. I really like Captain Marvel. She is super OP. And it gives us a great insight to what it means to be Kree as well. You know, she, like you said, she's fighting with the Kree at this point. And it's a really, really interesting look at that. And another great setup movie to things to come, you know, not just in the next game, which is Endgame, next movie, which is Endgame, but to some more stuff that we're definitely going to be getting into in phase four.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Let's move on. Endgame. We have finally reached the culmination of all these movies. Avengers Endgame takes place mostly pretty much 5 years after the events of Infinity War. The snap has happened. Half of all life is gone. Everyone is trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces and move on. And suddenly, there's a glimmer of hope. Maybe we can figure out how to go back in time and fix what happened. Stop Thanos. It picks up. I mean, it brings back the quantum realm, which was huge from Ant-Man and Wasp, and makes it kind of a centerpiece of the movie, and brings in time travel. Time travel seems like, I don't know, a little bit of a cop-out, but what did you guys think?
Yeah, I honestly didn't see it going this way leading up to this movie. I get what you mean by cop-out, and I kind of agree. At the same time, I really thought they did it in a clever way. That's befitting of the universe and the multiverse and some of what we get to see later in Loki and stuff like that. I didn't think it was, I mean, it's not just like, okay, now we're back in time and now we fixed it and now we're okay. There was a lot of paths that they had to go through to get there. But yeah, at the same time is like, I don't know if this was my favorite route that they could have gone with it.
Yeah, there definitely could have been some other options. That being said, it was still a great movie. It really wrapped up everything. It was heavy emotionally. You know, there are some very key deaths in the movie. Really wraps it up. And the I don't know, just some powerful moments, right? Like,
yeah,
where it's Captain America staring down Thanos and his entire army, and then all of the sudden everybody's back and starts coming through portals. I don't know. That felt really powerful.
It did. And I don't know. The big spoiler that I'll drop is probably one of the most powerful scenes for me in the entire movie was when Cap calls upon Mjolnir and is actually like wielding both the shield and the hammer, and that was just fucking great.
You get that call back to Ultron where he moves it slightly on the table.
Yeah, and Thor's even like, I knew it. that was an incredible scene. That was really great. There's one scene that I thought they could have done so much better that felt like really hokey, and I like it, and at the same time I hate it, is when they had like all the female hero characters come out, and it was like, what are we doing, a fucking runway battle like Zoolander? Like, they all came walking out together. They couldn't just have them naturally like throughout the fight and then like, focus
wind
on
wind up in the same area.
Yeah.
It felt forced. It felt out of place the way they did it. I don't mind that they did it, which it was a criticism again from those same people who hated Captain Marvel.
No, I love that they did that, just not in the way that they did it.
Right. Do it in a way that feels better for the movie.
Yeah. They come all walking out of that same portal like it was a runway battle. Like, I don't know how else to describe it. It was fucking silly.
I really like, even in a scene like that, not the woman, not the part with all the female characters, but like in that final culmination, that final battle, they still found ways to like break the tension a little bit.
Yeah.
Like when Peter Parker and Spider-Man swinging around trying to introduce himself to everybody as they're all fighting these aliens.
He did a
that
very
was funny
Peter Parker thing.
the part where Ant-Man is trying to find the van with the time machine in the back of it, and he hits the button on the key fob and it starts playing La Cucaracha to try to find the van in the midst of this battlefield. It's good. It is really well-timed ways to break the tension a little bit of this giant battle.
I also really like how they showcase certain things, like, because one thing that we didn't talk about before is the way Thanos is coming back in this fight is through like a similar time travel that he's using them against themselves, and he has the same armory as we saw coming through the portal to New York that first time with the big crazy fucking aliens that were destroying shit. And what this fight really showed off was how much more prepared we got in this amount of time. How many more heroes came about that could actually handle fighting these things. When you see Ant-Man go big and start fighting one of those Leviathans, fist fighting it, it's like, oh shit, yeah, this guy's got that handled. When Thor comes in, and he's Thor 3.0, it's like, oh fuck yeah, here we go, boys. This is like some big time moves happening with the good side as well, because you're seeing peak Thanos, and he's getting eaten alive, and it's really cool.
Yeah, I liked it a lot. There were some twists too, right? Like the Thanos scene at the beginning of the movie, I did not see coming.
No, it was I thought we were gonna see some trickery right from the beginning, and then we didn't. It was a scene that I didn't see coming, and then we got into time travel. I don't know. They sped the time travel up way too much too. They go to Stark. It's like, no, I don't want to do this. And then he's like, can't sleep one night, and he figures out time travel in what, 45 seconds?
Yeah, pretty much. That was all it took. It was overnight. He's like, oh, okay, I got it. We're good. Can we also talk about Fat Thor?
Oh my God. What a character, man.
An absolute reveal. What a unit that guy was.
Fucking unit. I love that he's sitting there with what's his name? The rock guy?
Korg and Meek, and they're playing Xbox or Fortnite. They're playing Fortnite.
It's so fucking good. Like, I love that whole setup. Their little bachelor pad they have in New Asgard.
Just, it was like, what? Thor dressing down a 12-year-old for calling his friend a dickhead on the internet reminded me so much of David. I wish David was here, because I've heard David go into absolute tirades against 12-year-olds on Xbox Live.
It was a great scene. Oh man, Fat Thor was a great character too. And you know, as comedic as it was and as fun as it was, it had a real side to it as well. You know, Thor was severely depressed, severely down on himself. He was fucked up in the head after not doing what he was supposed to do as Thor, you know?
Yeah, he failed, and that really crushed him.
So it was big for him, just as like some of these movies were really big for Bruce Banner and Hulk. You know, we didn't really talk about that back in an Infinity War, where he wasn't even able to Hulk out because we're finally getting a really close tie, a close look at what it means to be Bruce Banner and Hulk. And it was, we saw a little bit back in Ragnarok, through that story, and it just continues on up until through Endgame and stuff, where he's really having this internal struggle of Hulk and Banner and how they're two different identities.
Yeah.
And it's a great story that's built up throughout this whole thing as well.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great watch. You know, I don't know what else to say. Endgame was just, it felt like a landmark. It was an event. I think David and I wound up seeing it at like 7 a.m. on a Sunday release weekend, because that was the only time slot that had tickets available.
Yeah, I remember you guys went and did that. I think Lauren and I saw it like that Monday or something like that.
Yeah, it's just, it's crazy. It was an absolute capstone to the MCU. That being said, there's one more movie in Phase 3. Spider-Man Far From Home.
Yeah, Keith,
you got a rundown here?
So we go back to Peter Parker, you know. After the snap is reversed, we got Spider-Man back, because he did get snapped out of existence in the Infinity War. And we get a closer look at what that means for these people that were snapped and gone for 5 years, because they just came back as if 5 years hadn't gone by, but it had for everybody else in the world. So for high schoolers, that meant really big changes. Like, eighth graders and freshmen that they had known were now bigger and older than them. And you get a look at that. You get a look at kind of what Spider-Man is going through post being a big time hero, and who he's really wanting to be, and life after Tony Stark, which is a tough one for somebody like Peter Parker.
Yeah, he kind of just wants to be a high schooler again, right? And yeah. Suddenly he's got the mantle of Iron Man being thrust upon him. Everyone's looking to him to be the leader. Nick Fury wants his help. That's kind of the whole story, right?
Yeah.
Is Mysterio is come and he's supposedly from another dimension where these elemental creatures have attacked and destroyed his planet. And now they're here on this dimension and they've got to stop the elementals. And it was cool watching Peter kind of grapple with this newfound responsibility that he doesn't really want. Spoilers, you know, seeing that it turns out Mysterio is actually the bad guy and not actually from another dimension. It was a cool twist. I liked it. Yeah, I don't know.
Mysterio's a great character. I really liked it. I love Jake Gyllenhaal playing him. I like the way they keyed him into the MCU as, you know, we get a flashback onto a set with Tony Stark doing his like weird flashback technology where he was able to walk around a memory of himself with his parents and stuff. And that tech was made by this guy, by Jake Gyllenhaal's character. So it was a cool little thing that they threw in there to tie it in. I really like this bad guy. I really don't think we've seen the end of him because that's Mysterio's whole thing is nothing is as it seems like right. Ever.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. The ending, like, everyone suddenly knows that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Big time news, big time going into this upcoming Spider-Man. So like that's exciting news. This is going to be a very interesting movie that we got coming out in December.
This is the one that I'm looking forward to. This is the one I want to see in theaters. Like,
yeah.
Black Widow, you know, who cares? It's an old story that the character is already dead. Like, you can't do much with it. Shang-Chi, I've heard, is really good, so I am looking forward to Shang-Chi. I'll see
it now on Disney
Plus. Yeah, it's already out on Disney Plus, so that helps.
As of the 12th.
Eternals has got mixed reviews. Bad and mixed reviews. So just whatever, hollow. I'll see it. But man, Spider-Man, I'm ready for.
Yeah, I enjoy the Spider-Man movies a lot. The Tom Holland ones have been great. And so the Spider-Man movies and the Guardians movies are like the two that I actually care about seeing in theaters. And actually Love and Thunder too, because I think that one's a Taika movie too, right?
Yeah, it is.
So I'll see his movies in theaters too. But I care about. Those are the ones I actually care about. I'll see Black Widow eventually. I'll watch Eternals eventually. But like the Spider-Man, the Thors, the Guardians, those are the ones that I actually care about. So I'm pretty excited for this. I've not watched the trailer because I don't want spoilers, and I assume there are some.
There are. There's a lot. Don't get on Twitter because that's like my entire Twitter feed is people theorizing what's happening in this next Spider-Man movie. Despite what I've read, what I've seen, and I'm not actively hunting out spoilers, but I still don't think I have even an inkling of a thought of what is to come in this next movie, and I'm so excited for it. And partly because of this Far From Home. Do I think it was the best Spider-Man movie we've gotten? No, I don't at all. But I thought it was really good. I think Homecoming is better, and I think No Way Home is going to be just the great icing on the cake, the cherry on top. I'm really, really excited for it.
I enjoyed Homecoming a little bit more also, but I still liked No Way Home a lot. Far From Home, which one's which? I don't know anymore.
Far From Home's middle, yeah.
Okay, so I still enjoyed Far From Home a lot. I wasn't a huge fan of Mysterio as he was in the movie. I think he's a better comic book character, but I thought it was still enjoyable.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Well, that wraps it up. That is the MCU phase 3 in its entirety. Probably won't have an MCU breakdown for a while. We got to at least get through the end of phase 4, and who knows when that will be. But we will have more breakdowns. We're going to keep doing other franchises every now and then. We'll be back with a regularly scheduled weekend watch next week. Other than that, don't forget to check us out on Facebook, Twitter. We have a website, 3guys1up.com. You can find a link to our Patreon on that website. You can sign up, give us $5 a month, and we'll be your friend forever. We also have a Discord channel. Join our Discord server. We have a Discord server that you
There's
can join.
There's channels in there.
There are channels in there. Chat with us. Chat with us about the MCU or movies in general. And yeah, I think that covers just about everything. So thank you, everyone. We will be back, like I said, next week. Good night.